Welcome to the Lancet Respiratory Medicine Podcast. I'm Aaron Van Dorn. Today on the podcast, I spoke with Dr. Tina Hardart of the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Dr. Hardart is an author on a new study that aimed to evaluate the strength or a causal effect of respiratory syncytial virus lower respiratory tract infection and subsequent chronic wheezing illness to inform public health expectations for RSV vaccines. Dr. Hardart, how prevalent are lower respiratory tract infections in children, and how many of those are infected with respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV?
About 20 to 25% of infants, and what I mean by infants is the first 12 months of life, have lower respiratory tract infections, and these are most commonly caused by respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. Severe infection with RSV, however, becomes less common with advancing age through childhood. So RSV is a virus that impacts really the extremes of age, the very young and the elderly.
What are the outcomes for children with RSV?
The vast majority of infants and children who have RSV or even RSV lower respiratory tract infection do well. However, worldwide, approximately 700 infants a day die from RSV. About 1 to 3% of children require hospitalization for RSV lower respiratory tract infections. And then in addition to the acute sequelae of having RSV, particularly RSV lower respiratory tract infection, there's an association with between a 2- and 4-fold increased risk of subsequently developing asthma, and also an increased risk even of subsequent otitis media and pneumonia.
Are there any treatments for RSV LRTI? And if so, how effective are they?
Yes, unfortunately, there are no treatments for RSV. We use really just supportive care. And what I mean by that is suctioning or oxygen, or if mechanical ventilation is required in a small proportion of infants and children. Over the years, we've used many different treatments for RSV lower respiratory tract infections, but we've subsequently studied many of these in randomized controlled trials, and actually none have been efficacious. And we've subsequently removed many of the things we previously used from clinical care. Thus, the treatment for RSV lower respiratory tract infection is purely supportive care.
In your study, you analyzed the association between RSV lower respiratory tract infections and subsequent wheezing. Tell us a little bit more about why you chose to study this association and about the causal and non-causal theories.
Yes, so the major reason that we focused exclusively on the severe spectrum of RSV, RSV lower respiratory tract infections, is because that's the current focus of vaccine development and monoclonal antibodies. So it's not on preventing all RSV infections, but rather these efforts are on preventing the most severe disease that results from acute RSV infection, which is RSV lower respiratory tract infection. Thus, the question of whether potentially preventing RSV lower respiratory tract infection might have an impact on other health outcomes really is potentially important in discerning the breadth of the impact that a vaccine or RSV immunoprophylaxis might have. In other words, when we think about most vaccines, we think about the acute effect of the vaccines on preventing the acute illness. But the question in the reason we ask this question is, might an RSV vaccine or monoclonal antibody actually have impact beyond prevention of severe acute infection, such as preventing other respiratory sequelae, including asthma?
What did you find from your meta-analysis, and did you find evidence to support either the causal or non-causal theory?
So we assessed the available evidence just from observational studies of RSV lower respiratory tract infections, and the two available randomized controlled trials of RSV immunoprophylaxis. We found that the observational studies of RSV lower respiratory tract infection are confounded by a likely shared heritability of RSV infection severity in asthma. And this is based on the fact that the effect sizes decrease when adjusting for heritability. So the combined data from the two RSV immunoprophylaxis studies that we analyzed was not statistically significant. So while it trended towards protecting against asthma, the studies really even combined are too small, and the findings weren't significant, so they were inconclusive.
What implications do the rest of your study have on the prevention and treatment of RSV and lower respiratory tract infection in children?
So based on the findings from this study, which again, as I said, were limited to exposure and immunoprophylaxis studies, there were two trials, really support at this point in time that policy decisions for RSV vaccines or RSV immunoprophylaxis should be based on the impact of these vaccines on acute infant morbidity and mortality and not on any potential long-term respiratory morbidity, because we don't see conclusive impact on that from these studies that we analyze. So the currently available data don't support basing at least vaccine policy decisions on any potential long-term effects of vaccines or RSV immunoprophylaxis beyond the acute period.
Dr. Harder, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.